The Coalition is in for a battle to get its same job, same pay proposal over the line, with eight business organisations teaming up to fight the changes. The proposal is yet to be fully outlined by the government, but it's designed to ensure workers employed by Labor hire firms are paid the same as a company's permanent employees. Business groups argue it will stop employers paying staff more when they're more experienced or work longer hours, but Treasurer Jim Chalmers insists that's not true.
This isn't about stopping businesses rewarding experience. It's about making sure that workers are eligible for the pay and conditions that the employers have agreed with their workforces. It's about closing loopholes to make sure that labour hire, for example, or casual workers or gig workers are used in the way that they're intended.
Professor Mark Wooden from the Melbourne Institute of Applied Economic and Social Research, based at Melbourne University, is with me on RN Drive. Welcome to the program, Mark.
Nice to be here, Catherine.
Now, the government is still consulting on this legislation, but says businesses should have access to labour hire for work surges and not as a loophole to suppress wages. What is this loophole, and is it something that's seen as a big issue?
Well, what is the issue, I guess, is that firms negotiate their wages with their workers. So different firms negotiate different wages, and labour hire firms are just another firm, and they negotiate their own wages with their own employees and then place them in other firms. And, of course, it's not obviously the case that wages will align. Mm. Now, is this an issue? Well, I'm surprised it is, because our research, which has been peer-reviewed and published, shows that on average, people who work for labour hire firms earn more than the comparable permanent employee.
So then why this argument from business that it might suppress wages if you've actually found evidence to the contrary?
Well, I guess what they're saying is if we have to have same job, same pay, they'll have to lower their pay. Mm. I guess I'm just making that up. You know, I don't know about their case. But, I mean, the reality is that according to the HILDA survey data, on average, men who are in agency work, labour hire firms, get about a 13% premium and women about a 7% premium over comparable women. That's not to say, of course, that some workers are paid less than the comparable. Of course, there's going to be variation in that across individual arrangements.
Sure. Well, then, is it a fair assessment then when you hear mining, farming and construction employers and others argue that the proposal would punish harder working or more experienced employees?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, that's hard for me to comment on. It's going to come down to the individual situation and the individual working circumstances.
Okay. Well, let's look at what we know with the proposed legislation, which we know is it could change somewhat given consultation. But if there was a blanket same job, same pay rule, what would that look like in practice? How would it be rolled out? Is it economically feasible? And I guess one of the big questions is it going to lead to productivity?
There's a lot in that, I know. I mean, the reality is we haven't seen any legislation. We've got this flimsy 15-page discussion paper, so we don't know what's going to happen. And this isn't about same job, same pay. I mean, the first thing that's going to happen is take a worker, two workers working in a labour hire firm, one of them is sent out to firm A and one is sent out to firm B. Let's say they're both electricians, but firm A and firm B have different enterprise agreements. Now, those two workers presumably are going to be paid differently, even though their employer, under their agreement, they're working. So it's not the same job, same pay. It's same job, different pay. Okay, it's just shifting where that difference occurs. So what I think this is really about is it's just trying to, and I don't know where the legislation is going to, going to formulate to come down, where it'll land. But I think what it's about is just trying to stop labour hire firms deliberately undercutting the wages conditions of a particular firm. Mm. Okay, so it's not about same job, same pay. It's just to ensure that it's setting some sort of minimum. So workers who come into that firm, I guess they can be paid more. Okay, I mean, I don't think they're going to stop that. So in other words, you can be a contractor and earning more than the regular employees, but you can't be earning less. Mm. I think that's what it's about, and I think that's where, and it's coming from a few unions, I guess, in the construction and mining sectors. It's interesting it's coming from mining, given so few workers employed in the mining industry, and most of them are very well paid.
Yeah.
Okay, some of the higher paid sectors. But anyway, I'm sure the contractors on average do well, but there are obviously going to be cases where that's not the case.
Is there?
In terms of productivity, yes. I can't see really any. Where does the productivity benefits come from here? At best, I mean, maybe it makes some workers feel happier, but again, the contracting workers and force, they might not feel so much happier. It's difficult to know how this is going to play out in that field, but it's difficult for me to see there's anything major is going to happen on this front, on productivity front.
From an economic feasibility perspective, I mean, does it work better for an economy if you do have same industries paying different pay rates in order to get the best out of their business? You know, a lot of staff use wage rates to attract employees.
Well, that's right. We normally assume, particularly in a world where firms are free to set their wages and conditions, subject to, you know, minimum wage laws and the like, minimum conditions, that we allow firms to set what, you know, what they think is a fair rate, and that'll depend on, you know, a whole host of factors. But those firms that are competing for labour tightly, as is more the case now, you'd expect them to be bidding up wages. You know, well, the evidence on that's not so good. And those where the conditions are not so good, the wages will go down, but that will mean, so they won't rise as fast, but that will mean they can absorb more labour and so less unemployment. And I think, as we've seen, since enterprise bargaining became a thing in this country, which is basically 1993, you can basically pin it down to the Hawke-Keating government, what we've really seen is an economy that's been able to sustain much more employment without as much inflation, okay? Mm-hmm. So currently we do have inflation rising, but it's in a context of very low unemployment, okay? So I think the economy as a whole has done better than in the years of the 70s and 80s, for example, where, you know, we had wages rising and we had unemployment rising both together.
Professor Mark Wooden from the Melbourne Institute of Applied Economic and Social Research is my guest here on RN Drive. It is 5:13. Mark, as we've been discussing, Labor is still consulting on this legislation. What do you think the government needs to consider here? Where do the reforms need to be when we're looking at pay for workers?
Well, I don't think it's here. Okay, I would be focusing on. Well, they've been focusing on the low paid. We've seen them do that already with the aged care workforce. I think there's issues around non-wage compliance. Okay, so this is where workers are not being paid their rights, and of course they're introducing legislation in this sphere too.
Well, that's okay, criminalising wage theft, aren't they?
Criminalising, that's. I mean, I'd prefer something more along the lines, more resources to the ombudsman to police it better, but they're going for the big stick, the bigger threat approach. So if we catch you, the penalties are going to be large. But, you know, a lot of the where the danger there is, you know, it's where firms make mistakes, and it's very easy to make. You see, you know, big firms with big HR departments suddenly putting their hand up saying, we underpaid people, you know, 10 years ago, et cetera. Universities, they've all been doing it. But now think about the poor old little employer employing two people, okay, what is the likelihood of them getting it right all the time? So how are they going to balance that between malicious, you know, deliberate intent versus accidental? I mean, I hope they sort of, there is some give in this.
So do you think the idea of same job, same pay is feasible at all, that it could potentially work across some industries and not others? Or do you just not like the idea?
Yeah, I don't really like the idea because I don't think it's really compatible with enterprise-based wage system. It's sort of like, it's like a harkening back to yesteryear when wages were driven by what was in awards and conditions. If everyone was on the award rate, okay, which, you know, 23% of the workforce is, it'll work. So it probably will work well in some sectors where it's low-paid sector. Okay, working in mining, that's not a low-paid wage sector, doesn't seem right. Working in construction, I don't think that's a low-paid sector either. So down the bottom end, this can work. And that's where, of course, there are a lot of agency workers down there. We can think of aged care nurses, for example, is one area, okay, where there's a lot of outsourcing going on.
And that sector just received a huge pay rise.
And that sector received a huge pay rise, and it's difficult for me to imagine that pretty much all the workers in there are probably already getting about the same, okay?
Right.
Because, you know, I don't think too many employers are wanting to pay them more than what they're going, when what is specified in the awards.
Well, it's fascinating to see where this will play out because the government will be releasing that more information, I'm sure, over the coming days or weeks. But we'll have to leave it there. Professor Mark Wooden from the Melbourne Institute of Applied Economic and Social Research, appreciate your time this afternoon.
My pleasure, Catherine.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.